Okay.
All right. Somebody open us in prayer. Richard, would you do that?
Yes. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have given us a brand new day to honor you, to glorify you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, that you have shielded and protected us throughout last week, and you brought us into a brand new week, which is today. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who has sealed us with the blood that you shed on Calvary, that we will have eternal life with you in heaven. But, Lord, until we have work to do here, we thank you that you've given us all a mind and a heart to be more and more like your Son, Jesus. Father, forgive us of our sins. Wash away all the things that we've done that has grieved your spirit in the last week and just in this day. Create in us a clean heart and give us ears to truly hear from you, Lord, as we hear your word. Open our ears. Open the windows of our hearts to, Lord, so that we may receive what you have for us to receive. And bless Jeanette as she brings forth your word. Let it be the word you speak through her, not Jeanette speaking. But, Lord, it is her voice, but it is you speaking through her. So, Father, we pray that you would just bind us together in spirit and truth today, Lord God, and that we would receive all you have for us. And, Lord, we'll be able to not just hoard it for ourselves, but to share with others. Lord, we thank you for those that want to call in but unable to, and those that will still call in. Bless them, Father. Give them a heart and desire to do so. Lord, we thank you for this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay. This morning, and we'll see what the Lord has to say, because I'm not sure why we are where we are, but this is where we are. We're in Numbers chapter 11. And let's see what the Holy Spirit has to say about it. Tammy, would you go ahead and start?
Verse 1.
Okay.
Start at
I'm reading out of King James. All right. The people complain is the title that I have. 11:11.
Tammy, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Golly. Backdrop is that we are in the wilderness, and we have come out of Egypt, so we've already exited Egypt, and God's people are in the desert, have been for quite some time. Now remember, it's a desert, so we were talking about weather and how hot it can be. Well, you know, this is a desert. It is not just hot, it is extremely dry. But there's a pillar of cloud by day. In other words, during the day, there's a big cloud over the camp that keeps it shaded. And there's a pillar of fire by night because the desert can get very, very cold as well. And at night, there's like a huge pillar of fire that burns all night long. So they're comfortable, but they're still in a desert. And they're wandering. And this generation I want you to get a picture of this. We're talking about, we don't have an accurate number of how many is in this group, but you can start with 600,000 is in this camp. Now, when I say 600,000, that's foot soldiers. That's not even counting women and children. Can you envision what 600,000 people must look like? Okay, so we have 600,000 of us, and we are in this wilderness. And I'm wording this way because I feel like the Lord is speaking to us as well as the recount of this story. So here we find ourselves in the desert, and this is after, you know, Moses had gone up into the mountain and, you know, brought down the law, but found that a lot of people had just wandered from that. We couldn't, you know, wait that long, got too impatient and decided, well, hey, we don't even know if this dude's coming back. He takes us out of Egypt where we were enslaved and being treated badly, but we were used to still the luxuries of that land. Does that sound a little like America?
Yep.
Because in America, we still, as God's people, or even as there are groups of people here that are still, you know, not in the best of circumstances, but we still enjoy the luxury of that land. And a person would say, and what I'm talking about now about the luxuries of the land, I'm talking about sin.
Hmm.
I'm not talking about fine linen and precious jewelry. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about the way that people in this nation indulge.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where that group came from. They came from Egypt, but with great indulgences. Matter of fact, Egypt is so was so wicked. And I, you know, I had Egyptian clients, and I, you know, the Egyptian people I've met, I just absolutely love, and I found myself really wanting to dig into the culture just because I love the study of cultures. But they were pretty, they were very wicked. They were involved in things that come out if you, you know, for those of you who Google, it's believed that even Egyptians back then were had already started experimenting with cloning and all kinds of science
yep.
that we're just getting to, they were already
yeah.
doing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
But they were known to be wicked, so that when the Lord said that the, and then they were wiped out as a nation, not as a nation, but as a forceful nation, when they pursued the Israelites through the Red Sea, and the Lord said they would not rise again, and they have not.
Mm. Yep.
To a great nation. I was talking to an Egyptian client when I was in Florida, and she said, yeah, we Egyptians, we blame Israel for everything. She said, but the truth of the matter is it's us ourselves. So this is the backdrop. You've got a people that have been, let's put it this way, coming out of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But the world is still in them.
Right.
And this is the group of 600,000 foot soldiers we're talking about. Not to count women and children. So that, and this is after, mind you, the earth swallowed up a big chunk of them that were just so wicked they just acted it out. The golden calf, earthquake comes. Mm-hmm. Either you're coming with me or you're staying over there, and those who chose to go the other way were swallowed up, and that still left, if the 600,000 men, I don't even want to guess what it would be, counting women and children. But just because you got saved, just because you came out of Egypt, doesn't mean Egypt is out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are in this world, and I'm paralleling it because I think that we keep reliving these stories over and over and over. So here we are in America, and even though you're saved, is the world out of you? Are you still longing for the luxuries and the sin that America provides or this world provides? I'm not going to pick on America because we've already polluted every other nation. So it's out the world. So, so it's all basically the same wherever you go. So this is our backdrop. Let's go to Tammy Reed.
Okay. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses
Stop there,
prayed
Tammy.
Unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Stop there for 1 second. This caught me. Now, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and he talked about a fire that consumed the people. What people did that fire consume?
The Israelites.
They were Israelites, but where were they? They were the ones
that ventured
in the
off.
Outermost
mm-hmm.
part
right.
of the camp. I
mm-hmm.
want you to see, you see how big this group is, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you have eventually, as big as the group is, there's people that are on the outskirts of it. Outskirts of what? The pillar of
the
cloud.
Camp. Oh.
Outside the pillar of cloud by day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the outskirts. The camp is where the pillar of cloud, you know, does its work. And the pillar of fire does its work. But in the outskirts, you're barely under the shadow of the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like now? People that barely have a foot in.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire consumed them. It reminds me of the time we're living in right now, and things that are getting ready to come upon the earth, which are already flooding in like a tsunami. You're going to see chaos. You're going to see this. You're going to see that. And then you're going to see even Christians, and it has already started, committing suicide.
Yeah.
As you see the, which I'm going to call fire, judgment. And why am I calling it judgment when we know that this is the adversary doing all this mayhem and chaos? Why am I calling it judgment? Because God's allowing it.
Yeah.
These are the last days, so God is allowing it. So the people, the further you are from under the cloud, the less protection. So the people that are in the further, the outreach of this cloud or the camp, what am I getting at in this one verse that I do not mean to stop at, is we can't, don't get yourself in. Not one foot in, not one foot out, not on the outskirts, not half in the world, and half in church. Not half walking with God and Monday through Friday, not so much. Because they're the first to go. Did you see what happened? As judgment came, they were the first to get burned up.
Right.
Pray for those that you know that are not making a decision or they're still tarrying on this fence. That's a dangerous place is the point I'm making. And a lot of us are in it. Okay, go ahead, Tammy.
Okay. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched.
That's us.
And he called.
That's us.
Okay, right.
That's us.
Yeah.
When you see this coming, pray, because God will sustain his judgment. He will take another look, and he quenched the fire. Keep going.
And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude was among them, fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides the manna before our eyes.
Okay, stop there. So here we are, the people. Now, they just saw a bunch of people, you know, and I guess their attitude was, what, another one bites the dust?
Right.
I mean, seriously, what did you just see just happened around you? But now you're still complaining. And what are we complaining about? We're complaining that the luxuries and the things that we had in Egypt, we don't have here.
Mm-hmm.
What, you'd rather be enslaved and in sin than with God, and he's making a provision for you.
Amen.
Well, how does that really look because I think there's a whole bunch of us that are the same way. And we're that way right now, today. If you were given a choice, well, I could take this job that makes, you know, a whole bunch of money but leaves no time for my family, for my faith, for exercise, for anything healthy. But it comes with prestige and it comes with, you know, lots of money that we'll figure
right.
out how to spend when we get there. Or would you take something that prioritizes the things of God?
Amen.
And it means that you might have less. You might be able to do less. Do what less? What am I talking about? Enjoying the luxuries of this world. The luxuries of this world, I'm not downplaying it. It's quite enticing.
Right.
So asking that question, you know, are they so different? And they're saying, look, all we get is this manna every day. Now, that manna was such a complete food. It was incredible. But they're saying, I feel like I'm withering away. I'm not getting enough protein. Oh, I need fish. That's what's missing, fish. And don't forget those cucumbers and the garlic.
Right.
Golly, the garlic. And so maybe we see, oh, wow, how dumb of them. But are we that different?
No.
Well, yeah, a mixed group of people that came out of Israelite, came out of Egypt with him, people that were not non-Israelites.
I believe so.
So could it possibly have been also that they brought some of their food out with them and at that point?
Not at this point.
Okay.
A cucumber ain't lasting that long, how long they've already been
yeah.
in the desert. So they've been there 40 years. And at this point, not 40 yet, but no. But they... You know, again, you got people from Egypt mixed with people, God's people, and God's people just
right.
as polluted as the Egyptians. So it's a problem. It's a problem because once you have a complainer, it's contagious.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been around somebody and you never had an issue with whatever it is? Say it's on a job. And you don't have an issue, but by the time you finish listening to this person,
yeah, mm-hmm. right,
you come home and hate your job.
Exactly.
Your job was fine when you went there in the morning.
Or you find yourself doing some of the things that they were doing when you never would have done that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you're influenced,
mm-hmm.
continuously influenced. And here, as we are supposed to be in this world of which we are, we're not supposed to be of this world. But we're constantly having to get our mind in condition to reject the things of this world that are ungodly. And it's an all-day task. It's every day. It's choices we make from the time we wake
yes.
up. Do we seal our
yes.
minds in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Or do we jump up and turn on the news? I'm running a little late, no time for sealing myself and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go ahead and turn on the news, just see what's going on
right,
right quick, you know.
Right.
So here they are whining about fish. They don't have this. But now I want you to know, though, mind you, they were only a day's journey from the ocean. So you really want fish that bad.
Right.
Then you can leave the comfort of the camp and go fishing. But you don't really want to leave the comfort of the camp, do you? See, we want God's blessings, and we want his provisions, but we want it our way.
Yeah.
I think that if you examine some of your prayers, you'll see where the problem is. Keep going.
And the manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of Bethlehem. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, and beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it.
Stop for 1 second, because I'm going to read this in another translation so you get it, a little bit
okay.
of a different
view. Yeah. Yeah.
Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color was like the color. Coriander seed, by the way, is black.
Yeah.
It was the color of Bedlam, which is white. The people went down and gathered it, ground it on millstones, or beat it in the mortar. In other words, you know, grinding it by, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if you've seen it, but you, there's a particular tool that
mortar
you use.
Pestle.
That you, yes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, exactly. And it tastes was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil.
Mm.
So
mm.
like a bear claw, or better.
Mm.
And when the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna fell on it. Okay, keep going.
Okay. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout the families, their families, and every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased.
Stop
and
right
Moses
there.
Said, in, okay.
Stop right there for a second. When you see Moses heard the people weeping. Weeping is translated better as, again, complaining. They were not all wailing in their doorways, okay? So don't get the visual that they're standing in their doorway and all you can hear is, ah, ah, ah. That's not what's going
but
on.
That's exactly what I thought. That's good.
No, they are not standing in their doorway weeping like it
okay.
reads.
Or crying.
Weeping in
okay.
this sense, or crying. They're not just wailing away. As they're uh-huh. just complaining,
okay.
complaining.
Okay. I'm just going to put complaining here. Okay.
And God's ear. I want us to be aware. A lot of times I think we forget there are watchers.
Mm.
And the one who made the watchers hears everything. They're not only watching everything and writing it and keeping track of every move we make. They're listening to every word that's being said, and God hears it.
Yeah.
He hears you. So when you are in a trial and it just seems like, why am I still in this trial? Why am I still going through this? What did I do? You know the pattern. I must have done something.
Right.
This is God dealing with me. Some reason he's mad with me. Maybe that's it. And we go through this, you know, long line of examination when it's really just a trial that he's allowing to do what? Trials make us what?
Strong.
Stronger,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So he's got reasons that we're still in the desert. And he's working with us when we find ourselves in our own wildernesses. He's working with us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're complaining through the whole thing, he's hearing you.
Yeah.
And that does not make the Lord of spirits, the Lord of lords, the King of hosts, happy.
Mm-hmm.
Just because Jesus came by the Father and did what Jesus does doesn't mean the whole character of the Father changed. The Old Testament shows us who the Father is. Not too happy when he's blessed you, he's sustaining you, he's keeping you. No matter what, if you don't have a bank account, you don't have a bank account. Are you eating?
Amen.
Is he still taking care of you?
Yes, hallelujah.
Do you still have a roof over your head?
Mm-hmm.
Is he still making provisions, even if you don't have a bank account? Maybe he's showing himself strong in your life right now.
Yes.
Teaching you that he's the one who sustains you, not your bank account. But if you're, well, I don't have no money. What if an emergency happened? Oh, my God, if my car broke down, I don't even have the money to fix it. But your car didn't break down. Your jalopy is still running.
Amen.
He has not allowed it to break down. Because he is sustaining you, not happy with a bunch of what ifs and complaining. Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? And thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldst say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, and the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, but because it is too heavy for me, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness.
Okay, so in a capsule, Moses is fed up.
Yes, he is.
He is.
It sounds
fed
so
up.
Familiar. He's done.com.
Yes. It should remind you of Jonah in Nineveh when it got too hot.
Yes.
It should remind you of Elisha when he was being pursued by Jezebel. Just take my life. How dramatic
that's
we get. We get pretty dang dramatic. But to the person, I guess it's not dramatic. This is how he's feeling. So Moses is saying, why are you putting all these people on me? It's too much. I didn't bring them here. I'm not their daddy.
He says, I didn't birth
their
them.
Daddy.
He said, I didn't birth them.
Right.
Oh, gosh. I've been there.
It's not
done
my fault they're here.
Oh.
This is a warning in ministry. Don't beat yourself up too bad when you find yourself a little bit weary contending with people.
Yeah. Amen.
We are going to contend with people. Sometimes it is going to make you weary and tired.
Whew.
What God turns around and does for Moses is he makes a provision for them. And because I'm taking, he makes a provision for them. For Moses. He doesn't rebuke Moses for being fed up. And fortunately for them, he doesn't take Moses' life. Which Moses is, But as a minister, people of God on this call, if it happened to Jesus, if it happens to Moses, if it happens to Elijah, don't beat yourself up. This isn't so much a lack of faith as it is exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can I say that? I can say that by the way the Lord answers. He doesn't address some of our dumb stuff. Be careful and refrain from it because he does hear every word and he doesn't like being disrespected.
Yeah.
But he also understands our frailty and understands we're mere humans and that sometimes this can get way overwhelming. And for Moses, who had already gone through a wilderness. So Moses now is in this wilderness again on behalf of the people.
Right.
Moses meets with the Lord in a tent. So he has his relationship with God. And he's not complaining over some manna. He knows that this is a mighty, mighty thing God is doing. And I'll tell you, it can get that way, men and women of God, that when sometimes you're at a certain point in your walk, it can get very draining when other people aren't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Try and be patient and remember you weren't always there yourself. Let's not forget that Moses came out of Egypt himself. And the Lord had to fine-tune him to get him to even be willing to go after his people. Remember, Moses lived in Midian, and he was quite content with his wife.
Right.
And then up comes this burning bush, and Moses was like, please send somebody else. I'm cool. I'm ready to retire. Actually, I'm in retirement. I did the Prince of Egypt thing. It didn't work out for me. I can't even go back there, and I'm finally in a place where I have a son, I have a wife, I'm comfortable, and my life is smooth.
Yes.
And I'm at the age where retirement's good. Retirement's good, and at that point is where God says, oh, I got something for you to go do.
Right.
That had to be kind of hard to hear from Moses. And I'm saying this because in ministry, and those of us who, you know, are going to be participating in whether it's this ministry or another, you could be, let's be honest, you could be at home watching DirecTV.
Yeah. And the call.
You have your feet up. You could call yourself taking a walk. You can have your favorite hobby. You can, you know, get that dog you always wanted. You don't have to go and take up the plow and make life harder for yourself at whatever age you are. You don't have to do that. But when God calls you,
there it is.
I just don't know that you can ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where Moses is. I'm bringing that because I want you to remember where Moses came from. This wasn't his bright idea in the first place to go and get the people of Israel out of the hands of the enemy. That was not his idea. What are we doing in ministry today? We are trying to go get the people out of the fire, out of the hands of the enemy. That's what ministry is. But it can become very weary. So the Lord sends him 70, he didn't send him 70 elders. Keep reading, Tammy.
Elders appointed to help Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee.
Stop.
And I will
stop right there. Do you see anything there that we should be paying attention to? When he told Moses to gather 70 men, it wasn't random. Did he say, go see if you can find 70 volunteers?
Mm-mm. No.
No, he did not.
No.
He was specific.
Very specific. He was asking Moses to use wisdom in the selection of these 70 people. And one of the criteria is people that have shown leadership with the people.
Right.
People that you recognize. And how is he asking Moses to recognize this? Because the Spirit of God is with Moses.
Mm.
Moses already has the Spirit of God working with him and through him and talking to him. So when you're forming a ministry, and I'm saying this because I hope everybody on this call ends up part of what we're doing and going forward with. But other people may have, some of you on this call may have a ministry God's going to call you to, and it may be something else he asks you to form. I don't know what God's plan is for your lives, but I don't feign to. I just have my hopes. But when you are in charge of something and you're selecting people for leadership and elders, use wisdom. Ask the Lord for the wisdom. Don't let people select themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they will if you let them.
That's true.
And it has caused the fall of many a church. I've watched it. Mm-hmm. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people select themselves that were barely even a believer. I'm not even sure they are believers. And they say, well, I tithe a whole bunch. I'm ready to be a deacon, so you need to make me a deacon. And the pastor turned around and say, okay. If God puts you in charge of some kind of ministry, then be that. Be faithful in the position so that you don't end up exposing other people to something that's in leadership that never should have been in leadership.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We're in Numbers 11, verse 17. And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, and thou bear it not thyself alone.
I want you to stop. Perfect.
That's so beautiful.
Is that so beautiful?
That's so
beautiful.
What
are we seeing here?
God is so amazing.
Amazing. And what are we seeing here? We are seeing the distribution of the Holy Spirit, even back here.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, was he taking the spirit from Moses and spreading it out?
No.
Did he take it from Moses at all?
No.
He just took the same spirit operating in Moses, the Holy Spirit, and allowed the 70 for it to fall on those elders.
That's awesome.
Now, remember last week we talked about bearing one another's burdens?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus, for that.
Amen.
That's how we can do it.
Yes.
We can bear one another's burdens by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That the same spirit working in this person or a fallen Christian or someone that's going through and can't quite make it has to be carried on the bed. Remember we talked about the roof. Dropping somebody down, carrying them to the throne.
Yes.
We're not just talking about unsaved people. We're talking about Christians that can't make it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen.
Right.
Well, this is here in Moses. Now we went back 4,000 years or 2,000 years plus, almost 4,000 years from the point we were Wednesday. And look what God is doing. He's showing this is how you help carry the burdens of somebody who's got too much on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
By my spirit.
Amen.
By my spirit. Okay. I think that is so beautiful.
I do too. That just resonated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it
Stop
was
right
well
there
with
second.
Us.
Oh. Stop 1 second. When he says, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Now, I read that for years. And I thought, oh, okay. So, you know, get yourself ready and prepared to receive what God has for you. Moses, this is said more in sarcasm. Just so you know. He's saying, okay, get yourselves ready. Prepare to meet your maker is what he's saying.
Wow.
I didn't realize that, but that's what he's saying. Prepare to meet your maker. Get yourself clean because prepare to meet your maker.
Wow.
If I say it that way, you understand what's really being said.
Yes, right.
And it changes the whole thing. For you have wept and the Lord has heard it. Who will give us meat to eat? For it is well with us in Egypt. When you read it at first and you're reading it from the consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and then you read the rest, you think that this is a good thing coming their way.
Yes.
But that ain't what Moses is saying.
Mm.
And by the way, I'm going to backtrack for just a second earlier in this passage where Moses said, where am I supposed to get enough food to feed these people? Where am I supposed to get this meat from? Notice that God did not rebuke him for expressing confusion or doubt.
Frustration. Yes.
Exactly. But Moses was rebuked on other occasions, I'm going to run out of time if I keep going backwards, but he was rebuked on other occasions for expressing doubt in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
But when we, if we have a moment, if we're having a tantrum, if we're having a moment, I'll call it.
Yep, you're right, Tammy.
Talk to the Lord about it, and you're a lot less likely to get in trouble for it.
Trouble, yeah.
Because he seems to be quite patient with Moses. He doesn't even address that Moses said, "Where am I supposed to get that much? And where am I supposed to get that much food from?"
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even address it. He just lets that go. A lot of times, God lets a lot of things with us go.
Yes, he does.
But notice the pattern. When Moses complains in front of the people, it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff happens. Okay, keep going.
Okay, I'm not sure. You stopped me in the middle
there. I think 19, I think, right?
Okay. Oh, well,
just go ahead from back. Go ahead back to the top if you want.
18? 18. Okay. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came forth we out of Egypt?
Okay.
See, Daddy don't play.
Now, Daddy. He's not playing with them.
They're not playing with them.
Oh, God, that's so good. That's so good.
It's talking about grumbling.
Yes.
And again, I'm telling you, grumbling
the
really,
word.
It is. God does not like grumbling, especially as well as he is taking care of us. Do you know that
Amen.
Every single day he does not, I want you to get the visual.
Okay.
You leave your safe place and outside, there's lions and wolves, and they're seeking whom they may devour. Do you know that that's going on every single day of your life?
Yes.
And yet he has not allowed you to be devoured.
Yep. Hallelujah.
Right.
I think that the way the Heavenly Father must feel about this is, you have no idea, earthly.
No.
How much I'm doing for you constantly. Do you know that if I lifted my hand in my presence, what this world would look like? Do you know how fast you would be eaten alive and tormented?
For a second, yes.
I'm taking care of you constantly in a way. Do you know what the desert could bring if I just removed the cloud?
Yes. Yes.
If I wasn't providing water in a desert? If I wasn't providing food? I take care of you. I've taken care of you all along, and that's to each and every, that's a message to us today. He doesn't let the half of what can happen to us outside in that world. And then if you can't think of that, think about children or loved ones or family members that he protects. They're out there riding the highway where death has no name.
Yes.
They're driving around just like coming and going, thinking all is fine. You don't know what would happen if God's hand of grace was lifted from your family.
Ooh.
So grumbling is egregious to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only are you not grateful for what you can see, we ought to be grateful for that which we can't see. Thank you for what you protected me from yesterday that I never saw.
Amen. Coming. Yes,
thank
hallelujah.
You, as I walk out this door, I'm going to walk safely to my car.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Anyway, keep going.
Okay. All right. Verse 21. And Moses said, the people among who I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, and that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, it is the Lord's hand. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not.
So Moses, again, this is privately, says the Lord. What do you want? Where's all this fish going to come from?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is it a day's journey, but how much fish are we talking about here?
Mm-hmm.
And because Moses is feeling like, boy, and I feel this way with this ministry, sidebar, I feel this way with this ministry. What the Lord is telling us to do is going to take astronomical amount of money. But the Lord says, is my hand short?
Amen.
Right.
You will know that it is by my hand when I do what I see.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
Keep going, Tammy.
24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto them, and took of the Spirit that was upon them, and gave it unto the 70 elders, upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men.
Wait, 1 second.
Yeah.
1 second. Prophesied. Somebody, do you know what he's talking about when he said prophesied?
I'm so glad you stopped there. No, I don't.
prophesied at that time, what it ends today, is insight, spirit-led insight into the word. So they began ministering one to another with new revelation and insight that they now have given by the Spirit.
Holy Spirit, okay.
They
this
also
is the elders.
Are
okay.
given, they're also given knowledge of things to come and understanding of things past.
Wow.
Those are the gifts of the prophet. Understanding
wow.
of things past and glimpses of things to come, and sometimes full-blown, you know, account of things to come.
Right.
But
why does it say
wisdom?
Why does it say, but did not do so again? It's almost like
it's
a
because
single
it never
action.
Fell. It did not fall on them that way again. Remember when the
I
Spirit
see.
Fell on the group in Acts,
yes.
the second chapter? And there were cloven tongues that rested above their heads. That was
yeah.
a one-time
okay.
event, but they did not lose the Spirit.
Okay.
It doesn't mean
Thank
that,
you.
That the Spirit's been anywhere. It just means that that way, where all of a sudden 70 of them all at once are prophesying one to another and on and on and on. I don't know what that is, but somebody's phone is doing something that's kind of interfering.
Yeah, it's hard to hear.
Somebody's got a phone problem. Okay. So anyway, so I lost my thought. Oh, okay. So the prophet,
that was
for that moment. That was for that time. And then they went all through, and, you know, if you dig around, you'll find that even assumed that they prophesied all into the night that day. But now they have what? The Spirit.
Right.
Now they have the Spirit of God with them, and they're able now to lead whatever group this 70 is going to lead. And I want you to know
awesome.
That even today, the Jewish people only still have the 70, the Sanhedrin. They're the 70, and there's never one more than 70. There's never one under 70. There's 70.
Wow.
They're considered the magistrates of all of Israel because... And they're getting it from when Moses was commanded to choose 70. So they still have these 70 that are over the people. And that's a really amazing position to hold. Okay, next.
Verse 26. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp.
Okay, what happened
and there,
here? Stop for a second. What happened here is that two of the 70 that were listed, notice they were listed. These are
right.
people that Moses selected, but they didn't make it to the tabernacle that day.
Right.
Two of the 70 didn't make it to the tabernacle that day, and yet God's Spirit was on them too.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to make an issue of that, and then we're going to go. Keep going, Tammy.
Okay. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them? And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel.
Okay, so let me get to what happens here.
Yeah, that's juicy.
Two people don't show up for the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you all 70, and two of you did not show up for the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But now I find out, or now I'm hearing, it starts that these two that didn't show up are still prophesying in the camp like the other 68 that were at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And even Joshua, a high, someone that Joshua himself held in high regard, got caught up in this.
Mm.
And they come to Moses and say, what is he doing prophesying? They weren't here when the Spirit fell on all of us. They're acting like they didn't need to be in the meeting for the Spirit to fall on them.
Mm-hmm.
And what was God showing there? God was showing that God is not limited even to our meeting.
Right.
Now, why they were not there could have been family problems, could have been got up late, could have been detained, could have been a lot of things. Doesn't address why they weren't there, but they were not left out of the blessing. They were already selected by God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What am I saying here? I'm saying that there's going to be people selected by God that didn't come in the way you came in.
Right. Amen.
And where Moses is saying, and they're saying to Moses, hey, they're out there prophesying, and they're all, and Moses says, are you jealous on my behalf? Are you mad because they're making me look bad?
Right.
Is that what this is about?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think that it is. Or are you worried that because they're now doing the same thing and operating with the same gift that God gave you, that somehow that diminishes your gift?
Legalistic.
Well, somewhat, but more that insecure Christian, I've seen it, religious jealousy.
Right.
Somebody says, I heard that this person, I have the gift of healing. I lay hands on people and the sick are healed. And then someone says, oh, really? Because I've got a friend who also has that gift. Well, how do you know that gift's from God?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is that really from God? Because I don't know that person. How they get that gift? I know how I got the gift was through God, but how do I know they got their gift through God? What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of rejoicing that God's Spirit is working through other people, healing people, you're sitting up there worried that somehow you don't look as big if somebody else is just as tall.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Moses rebuked that.
Mm.
And it reminds me of Luke Chapter 9, where Jesus, they come to Jesus. Let's look at Luke chapter 9 really quick. We've got a few minutes, only a few. But Luke chapter 9 and I'll close. Luke chapter 9, verse 49 and 50.
I'm sorry, what chapter in Luke?
Chapter 9.
Oh, 949.
Do you want me to read it?
Yep.
9 to 50.
Okay. All right. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbid him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us.
Okay. So I'm urging you, Christian, people of God, that when you run up against somebody who may have a slightly different belief system, let's say, for example, and I always am taking out Pandora's boxes, but anyway, say, for example, a person believes that a lot of the African-American people in this country were Hebrews that were original Israelites that are enslaved, were enslaved in this country and shipped all over the world. And you read your Bible and you decide, I don't believe that. I don't know if there's enough proof for that. I don't know if I want to embrace that. But both of you are doing the work of the Lord. I am urging you, don't get caught up in that.
Right.
The salvation story is the same, no matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile.
Amen.
You're going to be saved by grace whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It's not going to be any other source that saves you. The Jews didn't pull it off very well, so, I wouldn't get overly proud if you think you're a Jew.
Right.
And their story isn't ending very well. But
right.
And if you're a Gentile, you're just, you know, from sin in the first place. Sinful, background sinful, relative sinful, ancestors, sin. Right. So there's none of us that can be really too proud of any of this.
Right.
But just because somebody's coming from another door, like I have a friend who is a Hebrew Israelite and has to wear the fringe, so he wears a fringe everywhere he goes. Does that matter? No.
No.
Whether I agree with him or I don't agree with him, if that's how he wants to manifest who he thinks he is that a salvation issue?
No.
No, it is not a salvation issue. Just like Jesus didn't ask, well, go back and find out those two guys who were casting out demons in my name. Go ask them if what exactly they believe and how do they know who I am, and ask them have they followed me in the past or where did they get this information from. Jesus said, if they're not against me, they're for me. What are you doing?
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Christians, stop it. Stop being so petty and so small.
Right, right.
That if
Amen.
People don't believe it the way you believe it exactly, well, something's wrong with them, and I'm not even sure they're going to heaven. I'm not even sure they're Christian for that matter.
Oh, my.
These two men that missed the meeting, they can't possibly have the Holy Spirit. Actually, Moses said they do.
Yes.
The Lord poured out his Spirit on them wherever they were at the time because they had been selected.
Yes.
They had been selected. By who?
God.
By the Spirit of God in Moses.
Mm-hmm.
By the Spirit of God operating in Moses, they have been selected. It is not your call to start all this excess judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Laura, can I finish the story?
No.
Can I finish?
No, thank you. That was awesome. That was
okay, well,
amazing.
We have... You have to read the story because it gets juicy, Sandra.
Even more juicy, huh? I know I'm like so into it.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it before I go to bed.
Thank you for sharing. That was beautiful.
Let's close in prayer.
Okay.
Let's close in prayer. It's 11:02.
Oh.
I know our time's up.
Wow.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hour together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, that
as convicting
as the word is, starting with me, Lord, help us to live by your word. Help us to walk in this revelation that you give us, Lord. Help us to realize we're not so different from those people and caution ourselves, Lord, so that we don't fall in the same ditches and make the same mistakes and the same errors that they made. Though yet we've already made the most of them. I ask you to forgive us for our grumbling and complaining. Help us to realize that our wilderness is a place where you're developing us, and praise your holy name for doing so.
Yes.
Teach us to thank you for all things and thank you for what we can't even see or recognize.
Give
us a grateful heart so that you can continue to bless us, keep us, and strengthen us. Have your will with our lives throughout this week.
Yes.
In Jesus'
name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
God bless everybody. Super Sunday.
Go Jeanette,
I just had one question.
Yes.
Who's that? Jeanette?
Yes.
When you were saying, like, when they went fishing, they were just supposed to be happy with the manna then? And because fishing's like the cheapest thing I could think of to do. But you were using that in a way saying they were outside the camp and start their own way, right?
No, they weren't going fishing. Fishing was a day's journey from their house, from the tent, from the provision God had made. It was a day's journey to go fishing. So that, you know, that means you're going to go outside of God's plan to go get something you would rather have. And most, they weren't doing that. It was too far and the sun was too high. So unless God gives you changes the provision, then you be grateful for the provision he has made. You can have a car that's running really well. Be grateful. So what if you would rather have a BMW? Be grateful for what he's given you. It's still running. Just be grateful.
Right.
And by the way, he's not saying you can never have it. He's just saying not now.
Right, right. And sometimes we end up going outside of what he says, like the car thing, and then you end up getting a brand new BMW, and you have a payment you can't afford. You know, so it's just like the message here with them. He ended up giving them some meat to eat, but they ended up regretting it.
And we're going to talk about that on Wednesday. We'll finish this.
Oh, okay.
Okay. God bless. Thanks, everybody. God bless everyone. Good to be back. All right.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Peace.
Jeanette?
Yes.
Hello. Hey, I don't know who still is on here, but I'll let you know when I'm thinking of leaving, like when I know, I'll text you so that you know about what time I'll be coming through.
Richard's got plans for the day, and I'm kind of on the fence. I'm not sure, I'm asking the Lord, but I almost feel like I might just drive up to Sassoon and meet with Melinda if she's in a good place today.
Okay. I actually was feeling that, I don't know why. Well, actually, I was just thinking about all the effort she's putting into her house, that it would be nice that you could see. I think she'd appreciate that. But I just feel like there is a need for you to go up there. She has so much scriptures, and I don't know. But it's up to you, you know. So we'll keep in touch.
That's what we'll
do. Let me know.
That works.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thank
Have
you.
A blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.